ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." So Jesus is rebuking them. You know, they placed themselves in a position that God didn't really put them in. They had no authority to add human tradition to God's word. No one does. They were telling people to do things and they weren't doing them. You know, it's kind of like when I was growing up. Do as I say, not as I do. Now, that's not how it goes. Because people are watching what we do. And so these guys were really false spiritual leaders that lacked integrity, they lacked sympathy, they lacked humility. They loved the title, they loved the honor, they loved the attention. No humility there. There's a lot of things that are innocuous, like gardening. You know, it's not a matter of life and death. It doesn't have eternal impact. Although, you know, when I see the rabbits eating my flowers, I want to have an eternal impact upon their lives and get rid of them. But that's another story. But think about a pastor, a leader, a teacher, and what he's doing. He is teaching spiritual truths from the Bible. And if he's teaching them wrong, he can damn a person to hell. That's how serious this is. And I realize maybe you think I'm going overboard with that statement, but I'm not. Look at Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Christian Scientists, and all the other cults that are out there that are teaching their people spiritual issues, but they're wrong. They're condemning people to hell. That's how dangerous this is. And you may be thinking, well, yeah, Pastor Joe, that's true, but those are cults. They're not Christians. As true as that is, look at what's going on in the church today. The false teaching, the secular humanism, the New Age, the Eastern mysticism, the psychology, and the boatload of other garbage that's not found in the Word of God. Remember the false prophets in the days of Jeremiah? The nation's on the brink of devastation as the Babylonians were going to come in and invade the land and take the southern kingdom of Judah into captivity. And there were many, many false prophets out there that were saying that they were speaking for God, and they weren't. They were speaking contrary to what God was saying through the prophet Jeremiah. They were giving people a false hope, and God was speaking forth judgment because of their wickedness, their spiritual idolatry. In Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2, we're told, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will tend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord." Notice what these shepherds were doing. They were not watching over the sheep that God had entrusted to them. And God was going to bring judgment upon them for the evil that they did. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." That's what they were doing. In verses 9 through 11 of Jeremiah 23, we're told, "My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man who wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of a curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord." Jeremiah is overwhelmed by what he sees. And he tells us the reasons. The prophets, the religious leaders, were leading people away from God, and it took all his strength away. He was weakened by all that he was seeing. When you listen to some of these men and women who are fighting against the false doctrine coming into the church, and they get weary in this fight. It is hard because day after day, they're blasted by those that are teaching false doctrine. I only get a little glimpse of that. I post something on Facebook, and it's amazing how people will stand up for false doctrine, false teachers. It's crazy. These guys do it on a daily basis, and it's a battle. And the sad thing is, you know, these false prophets in Jerusalem or in the southern kingdom of Judah were speaking for God, supposedly, and the people were listening to their lies, and they ended up rejecting the truth of God. And for Jeremiah, he's broken, he begins to stagger, he's overwhelmed. And again, it breaks my heart when I see what's going on today. Jeremiah had a love for the Lord, he had a love for God's word that drove him forward to speak what he believed. He had a love for his people, and he gave them what exactly they needed to hear. It wasn't what they wanted to hear. I mean, really, think about it. Judgment's coming, guys. We're going to be taken to Babylon. Do you want to hear that? No. Everything's fine. It wasn't. And I look at our nation, my heart weeps over what I see. People who refuse to turn to God and the false teachers that are leading away from God. And Jeremiah speaks of what this wickedness has brought to the land. The land's dry, it's barren, because they turned from the Lord and towards wickedness. It was filled with adulterers, both physical and spiritual adulterers. And those who were responsible were the priests, the leaders, bringing into the temple idolatry and wickedness. You see that today where we have all kinds of worldly things brought into the church instead of the truths of God found in the Word of God. Isn't it amazing? God has given us His Word, and He wants us to teach from it, from Genesis to Revelation, the whole counsel of God. And we come up with all kinds of other things to do. Why? If God's word is not that important, why did he give it to us? And if it's not that important, why are we worshiping a God who can't give us what we need? Do we have to have people who write books about what God really means? I think God knows what he means, right? We need to listen to him. And so what's come into the church is, you know, abortion is right, homosexuality, gay marriage, this and that. All these things are right. Why? Because we moved away from the Word of God. We're listening to the false prophets, the false teachers. Leaders are to guard against these things. And in Judah and in our nation today, they are the ones who are promoting these things. In fact, Jeremiah 23:14, we're told, "Also I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me and her inhabitants like Gomorrah." Wow. They moved away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, and it brought all kinds of immorality into the land. And in the end, they're no different than Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at our nation. I mean, it patterns what's going on here in the southern kingdom of Judah. And there's consequences to these things. For the Jews living in the southern kingdom of Judah, they believed everything was good. And judgment was right at the door. You know, we are to be salt and light. We are to be that preserving force in a nation, right? What happened to the church? Some 90% of the Americans claim to be Christian. If that were true, don't you think we should have a little bit more of a preserving force? But the nation's rotting. We promote sin. We're joyful about our sin. Now, what did Beyoncé have? Some kind of mass thing? She had the hat of a bishop on? Mocking things. Now, I don't think the hat is worth anything anyway, but you know what I mean. We mock God because of all the false doctrine that's been brought in. Jeremiah said in verses 16 and 17 in Jeremiah 23, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, 'The Lord has said,' you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Wow, those are pretty powerful words. Against these false teachers, these worthless shepherds that are not teaching the people the word of God. And they're giving them the philosophies of the world. And how do they authenticate it? Thus says the Lord, God spoke to me. I got a phone call from God. Or whatever. Here's the thing, guys. How do we know if something is from God or not? It's so simple. The word of God. The Bible. We don't have to guess. God tells us what's right and what's wrong. It's not my opinion. It's not my ideas. It's what God's word has to say. And it doesn't matter what the prophets are saying. And there are a lot of people today going around supposedly speaking for God things God has never said. You need to be careful. Now, Paul warned in Colossians 2, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, through the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Do we need anything else, anything more than God? No. God and his word. And his spirit speaks to us. We're complete in him, not apart from him. And we have to be careful of the latest philosophies and traditions and ideas that the world's throwing at us because they're empty. And the message that the false prophets had sounded was great, man. Listen to this message. Everything's going to be good. We're going to defeat the Babylonians. It wasn't true. Remember last September? Bears are going to the Super Bowl. That was my prophecy. How did that go? Not too well, okay? But that, get the stones on, yeah. But that's what these, but listen to this. These guys are the religious leaders. So what they had to say was more dangerous. That's the problem. You know, we're not just saying, well, just let bygones be bygones. Don't you know, deal too much with that. Just let it go. It'll be okay. At least some of the stuff that they say is good. No. If they're leading people astray, there's a danger. And we have to be careful. You have to apply everything to the Word of God. You know, they were telling the people peace and prosperity, right? What did the people want to hear? Peace and prosperity. What was coming? Judgment. The Babylonians. Don't you want to hear the truth? I do. I don't want to go to a doctor who says, you know, everything's okay, Joe. Hope you got your will done. I want him to tell me the truth. If I'm dying, tell me. If there's something wrong with me, tell me so I could fix it. But the false prophets just want everything to be good. And we're all singing Kumbaya together, going to hell. That's not a good thing. You know, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Isn't that interesting? You know, people always look at all, you know, the Corinthians with all the spiritual gifts, which I believe are very important and applicable for today. But when you go to the pastoral epistles, which were written much later, where you had the word of God coming together, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Not only to preach the word, but to be ready in season and out of season. Why? Because sometimes people want to hear the word of God, sometimes they don't, right? Paul says, doesn't matter. You be ready in season and out of season. You convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales. Just what they want to hear. Isn't that what happened in the southern kingdom of Judah? We like hearing that positive message. It was so good. No judgment. We're going to win this. Babylonians aren't going to take us away. It was a fairy tale. It wasn't true. And again, people may not want to hear the message, but they need to hear the message. And so we share the message of God from the Word of God. You know, James said, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. I don't think James is really trying to discourage people to become teachers of his word, of God's word. If you're called by God, you step forward. But there's a responsibility as you teach the word of God. It's got to be done accurately. It's not what you want to say, it's what God has spoken. Many people have lost the fear of God when they're teaching the Word of God. And so they're out to please men and they'll give people what they want to hear. But you may be popular down here, but when you stand before God, I wouldn't want to be you. There's a huge responsibility in teaching God's Word. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 3, the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning for me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." You know, pastor teachers and teachers are the ones who watch out for our souls. Those who we must give account. Paul said that in Hebrews 13:17. "Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Not to take this lightly. And we don't put, like, you know, new believers in the teacher's role. Paul said that in 1 Timothy 3:6, "Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil." Teachers, pastor teachers, should not be lackadaisical about God's word, because you're going to hurt people. And this is, there's a judgment, but not a judgment of damnation, but of losing your reward, as I've said. Too much is given, much is required. And I think this judgment has a twofold application. We've talked about believers who are teaching the Word of God not accurately, and they end up losing their rewards at the Bema Seat or the judgment seat of Christ. They may be chastened in this life so they can repent and get right with God. But false teachers, unbelievers, they incur a judgment at the great white throne judgment spoken of in Revelation chapter 20. You know, the great Scottish reformer John Knox was so awed and burdened by the responsibility to declare God's word faithfully that before his first sermon, he wept uncontrollably and had to be escorted from the pulpit until he can compose himself. That's how heavy it was upon him. One pastor said, "There's no special honor in preaching, there's only special pain. The pulpit calls those anointed to it as the sea calls its sailors. And like the sea, it batters and bruises and does not rest. To preach, to really preach, is to die naked a little at a time and to know each time you do it that you must do it again." Why do you think I have a podium up here, right? Solid one. Little bit more. It's not easy. You're speaking forth difficult things. And I guarantee you, over the years, if you've been here any length of time, there are things that I've said that's probably irritated you. But I would challenge you to search out what God is saying. Because if you're bothered by it, why? Why are you being bothered? There's a reason. And you could, you know, seek God's direction, ask him, and if he doesn't show you anything, well, who knows, you know, it's a bad burrito. But maybe there is something in your life that you do need to change. So listen to what God is saying. When God's word is spoken, he's speaking to his people. The Holy Spirit will open the things of God to you. That is why I teach the word of God. As teachers, and again, all of us teach at some capacity. We're all sharing Christ in some way. May we do so with the word of God and not the philosophies of man. Because there's divine judgment for those that are not teaching the word of God appropriately. Well, look at the first part of verse 2 here in James 3. "For we all stumble in many things." In other words, we're all sinners. It's kind of a strange statement, but it's true. We all stumble, even teachers. We can fall prey to sin. What is that about? Well, the ancient Greek word translated stumble does not imply a fatal fall, but something that trips us up and hinders our spiritual progress. And I think this is dealing with sin. And basically what he's saying is, look, we have all blown it in many ways and none of us are perfect in our walk. I think we all agree on that. We all struggle with different things. And here, you know, James is speaking of teachers. He's speaking of maturity, and a sign that a person is mature in the Lord is his speech, what flows from his mouth. It could also stumble us or hinder our progress, what comes forth. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to have control of what flows from our lips, especially pastors, teachers, and teachers. But it's true of all of us. You see, as a teacher, it doesn't give you a platform to teach what you want to teach. Why is that? Well, the heart is wicked, desperately wicked. And what comes from our heart may not be good. Then what are we to do? Let God speak forth from His Word. And again, it's amazing what He does. The studies I do, I'm about 3 or 4 weeks ahead of them when I teach them. I prepare ahead of time. I've been doing that since I first came up here because I worked at the hospital. And I never knew what was coming my way. Either in the church, there were many nights at the hospital. I worked the second shift a lot of times. It'd be 3 in the morning. I'd be working a 12-hour shift. I'd get done at 3 in the morning. And so I had to always be prepared. And I just continue to do that. It helps us stay in ahead with the bulletins, what we need to do with that, and so on. But what's interesting to me is God knows this already. God knows where we're at. And when I start teaching something, it ministers to the people where we're at that time. I can't tell you the number of times people will come up to me afterwards and say, that's exactly what I needed to hear, or that's what I'm going through right now. Well, yeah, I did that 3 weeks ago. So God knew what you were going to go through, right? That's how He works. You know, God's Word is living and powerful. May we not forget that. And we don't have to make a passage fit what we want it to say. And that's a real dangerous thing to do. I've seen people who try to do that to promote their cause or what they want to believe. And it's totally out of context when you look at it. And again, it's dangerous. The heart is wicked. We need to be careful. You know, in Psalm 52, verses 2 through 4, the psalmist said, "Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue." Wow. Again, how easy it is to let things flow from our mouth. I can't tell you how easy. I can tell you, but I'm not going to. In Psalm 64, verses 3 through 4, those who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot the arrows, bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless, suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. Again, what should flow from our lips should be building people up, not cutting people up. How important. Last one, Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Absolutely. James says that we may sin many times in many ways. We may stumble a lot. Don't continue doing it. Guard your tongue. Guard what comes out of your mouth. And how do we do that? Submit to the Lord. Surrender to Him so that your actions will reflect what's in your heart, a heart that's given over to God instead of self. And it's truly a heart issue. Jesus said in Matthew 15, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." What's coming out of our hearts is what we say, things we say. We need to be careful because, you know, that flesh nature is still there, right? If you get up in the morning, the flesh nature is still there. If you don't get up in the morning, you're dead and you're with the Lord and the flesh nature is gone. Praise God. But we have to deal with it now. How do we deal with it? Surrender, submit to the Lord, give it to Him. That's the only way. You could try and do it on your own and you're not going to succeed. We like to justify the things we say, but be careful. You know, I don't know if you remember this saying I do when I was a kid, you know, sticks and stones may, you know, break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I used to say that all the time. That's not true, though. Words do hurt. They really do. They can leave a lasting scar in our lives. And for those who have been hurt, and I think we probably all have in our lifetime, the Lord is the one who can bring healing. But wow, let's not use words to hurt people. Think about with your spouse. Have you ever said anything that was just a jab, a stab? You know, and then like 30 years later, they remember it. How does that happen? Be careful what you say. And I think, you know, James makes a powerful point that negates all the reasons we try to justify our speech. And we'll get to that, not tonight, today, but we will get to it. But I'll just share with you out of James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.